DW.
Welcome to the symbol of freedom.
A park ranger invites visitors to take in the view. Before them is the Hudson River, populated with colourful ferries and the skyline of downtown Manhattan. 93 metres below, hundreds of people mill about on the red brick island promenade.
Right now we're standing in the Statue of Liberty's head, and so her face is just below us, just slightly here. Just her nose is within view here. As we look down from her, we're the crown, they call it the crown. So we can see through these 25 windows. The windows represent the gems of a crown. And then above these windows is the statues. We can see, of course, the bottom of the torch to the right.
Wow. Historian Barry Moreno works for the New York City National Park Service. He's a veritable authority on the history of Liberty Island Promenade and the 132-year-old French figure who towers above it. In her 13-metre-long right arm, Lady Liberty gracefully holds the torch of freedom into the American sky. The mayors of New York might come and go, but the statue that was inaugurated in 1886 was built for an eternity.
And the Americans started to see her as a symbol of American perfection, in terms of democracy, being superior to everybody else in the world, the most free country in the world, and also nobility of the American people, the idea that the Americans have a unique form of government and they were a unique people. And also that American nationalism eventually begins to emerge as American nationalism, a defense against, especially with the rise of Mussolini in 1922 and his successors, I mean, his Herr Hitler, Lenin and Stalin and so these dictators. As more of Europe became more under authoritarian governments and Japan became very militaristic as too in Asia, the Americans began to see her as a symbol against totalitarianism, against especially fascism first, and also other authoritarianism, and then later against communism, Bolshevism, and so forth. And then especially of anti-communism in this red period.
Barry Moreno speaks about the arrogance and selective memory of fellow Americans with a fine sense of irony. He is eloquent and fires his words like ammunition at ignorance. The exploitation of Lady Liberty is a thorn in his side, no matter what form it takes, and the list is long.
It's a continuation, though. Probably intensifies, because September 11th, 2001, catastrophe and crime, outrage, did a lot to enhance the importance of the statue once again. Because, you know, there have been other catastrophes. Pearl Harbor was attacked in 1941. The war in Europe, the liberation of Europe, the D-Day invasion, all of these events, the war with Japan and all the men there that were killed and all the people in Europe were killed and displaced and, you know, just rebuilding the world. So the renewal. So the Statue of Liberty was very deeply emotionally symbolic then, but probably even maybe more as years have gone by, because the Statue of Liberty has transformed into a universal symbol, which wasn't really before. From French-American to American nationalism to American freedom and defense to universal worldwide celebration and recognition, which is amazing.
More than 4.5 million tourists flock to Liberty Island annually. They come by ferry for the 10-minute stroll around the promenade. There are no cars here.
New York, New York's a hell of a town. The Bronx is up and the Battery's down, and the people ride in the hole in the ground. New York, New York, it's a hell of a town.
And here, Liberty is attached to free enterprise. Although entry to the island and the promenade is free, the ferry from the southern tip of Manhattan is not. And the only ones who get to climb up to the good lady's crown are those who book to do so months in advance.
We only see 365 people each day. We limit it due to heat and due to we don't have any emergencies up here. In the past, We used to have lines 2-3 hours waiting. Now we take a little more common sense with that. I'm not here the whole day. I'm here a couple hours, and then I go to another post, and someone else comes up here. This is the happiest place on the island.
Dave McCutcheon is part of the security team at Liberty Island.
Where are you from, young lady? Hey.
The idea to build a promenade complete with a symbolic female figure on the tiny island came from French historian, republican and anti-royalist Édouard de La Boulaye. It was intended to reaffirm the alliance between France and the US and their similar constitutions, both promoting freedom and world enlightenment. But that's one of the stories that few have heard about, explains historian Barry Moreno.
A lot of them don't know that the statue was promoted by the Freemasons. They don't know the Masonic connection because it was a secret society. And other things is that people think it was built for immigrants, to receive immigrants. And that's not true. The Statue of Liberty has nothing to do with, originally had nothing to do with immigrants. It was not designed for immigrants. It was also, some people think it was designed to pay tribute to the end of slavery in America. And even though there's a slight relationship, it's not really, that was not its purpose either. It had nothing to do with the freeing of African Americans as slaves, not at all. Many people don't realize that it was the largest man-made structure in New York when it was built. Also, it's the largest statue ever built in the United States, even up to now. Some people think the statue was built as a gift to New York. And of course, and that it's a symbol of New York. The Statue of Liberty is not a symbol of New York, and it was not given to New York. It was given to the people of the United States.
In 1865, the French liberals and their leader, de La Boulaye, decided to honour the idea of liberty with a symbolic gift to the United States, thereby protesting the policies of Napoleon III and his repressive state. It was the perfect time. The American Civil War between the northern and southern states had just ended, slavery had been abolished, and the 100th birthday of the young American nation was imminent. The first idea was to present the US with a gold commemorative coin, but that quickly evolved into thoughts of a huge monument of copper and steel. The idea for the Statue of Liberty had been born. Sculptor Frédéric Auguste Bartholdi from Colmar in the French region of Alsace was commissioned to create the statue, a modern-day colossus of Rhodes. The face of the resulting 46-metre-tall statue is said to be modelled on that of Bartholdi's single mother, and her body on that of his lover.
It's nice to put stuff together and mix
up. Yeah, that's great.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your life.
In 1886, the finished statue was finally erected on the far side of the Atlantic. There was initially little enthusiasm for the French gift, and Congress said it would only cover maintenance costs if the statue made itself useful, serving as a lighthouse, for example.
So the statue was, at night, though, she was not well lighted. There was no flood lighting system, so she was rather dark. The torchlight was burning, though, the electric lights, light bulbs, but it wasn't a very strong light. And the American government had accepted the statue as not only just a gift from the French people, but also to be a lighthouse, the first electrical lighthouse in America. So she was, for about 16 years, used as a lighthouse. It wasn't very effective for navigation, though, because the light was never strong enough for ships at night or in fog. And so the statue was discontinued as a lighthouse in 1902. And in the meanwhile, the army, this was an army base, so there was a fort here with American soldiers. And so there was a combination of tourists coming to see the Goddess of Liberty, and then there were also a military base.
Moreno says the reason France gave the US the statue was because there was so little freedom in Europe at the time, and the French anti-royalist political agenda was all about the New World. The country's liberals made a generous contribution to the cost of the statue, which proved easy to raise. In the US, however, donations for the construction of the pedestal were slow in coming. The economic beneficiaries of the country's newfound freedom, the wealthy, the manufacturers and entrepreneurs, were especially stingy. Then Joseph Pulitzer, a Civil War veteran and a successful newspaper owner, decided to take up the cause, declaring the Statue of Liberty a national issue. A good chunk of the funding ultimately came from the Freemasons, who still hold their ceremonies in front of the statue. In the immediate aftermath of the September 11th terrorist attacks in 2001, Liberty Island was closed to visitors. Although the island was allowed to reopen a few weeks later, the giant green lady remained a no-go area to the public for years, until 2009, when tourists were finally allowed back into the statue. But after only 2 years, it was closed for restoration and repair work. A day after it was reopened in October 2012, Hurricane Sandy swept in and destroyed parts of the promenade and the docks, putting them off limits to the public for almost another year. On the 4th of July 2013, the restrictions were lifted, and the sites have been accessible to the public ever since.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above.
Dominic Chianese, the actor from the US television series The Sopranos, sang at the opening ceremony.
To the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Today, the 93-metre-high tourist attraction is fireproof and bombproof. A new elevator has been installed inside the statue, and tourists visiting the museum in the pedestal pass through state-of-the-art security gates. But it's worth it, according to former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who promised an exciting experience for every visitor.
They've produced a whole new, exciting experience for you. Look at the remarkable interior structure of the statue.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
Today, visitors can climb as high as Lady Liberty's crown. The torch has been off limits to the general public since sustained damage during a nearby munitions explosion in 1916. But Lady Liberty's light of freedom will never go out, said former New York Governor George Pataki in his patriotic speech.
For the people of New York, the people of America, and the people of the world, it never diminished. It never went out. It never will.
The statue's external appearance has been preserved since its inauguration in 1886. Only its symbolism has changed over the years.
After some years, the Americans began to assimilate the statue, to make her into American culture, to Americanize her. So the French goddess became more and more an American.
We're really saying to the rest of the world, this is America, and Americans are strong, and Americans value their freedoms.
Such sentiment is typical of the United States, notes Moreno.
It was a hollow icon because the statue was hollow inside. But this hollowness also was symbolic. That people can put their own dreams inside of the statue and make her represent themselves with their ideas. And that's amazing because this means the statue can be used by conservatives, by liberals, by radicals, by all sorts of people of all persuasions, political and cultural and societal persuasions, and used also commercially for business and enterprise.
Right, give me a good Christmas day.
And it's been an extremely successful venture. Complete and utter commercialization has nearly buried any memory of the monument's original historical message. And is it even still valid today? A fast food restaurant, a museum shop, and a souvenir stand with cheap t-shirts, coffee cups, plastic statue replicas, American flags, and other patriotic paraphernalia are a must for many tourists, as is the selfie with Lady Liberty herself.
DW.